From team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of Locked On Phillies. Today is Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. And coming to you, I'm dropping a few episodes here today. Again, was a little bit backlogged with the episodes, but had a chance yesterday, actually, to talk with Joe Giglio from 94WIP. We were actually talking right after it seemed like the Tyler Anderson trade had just went through with the Pirates, and the stuff that has transpired between then and now, early in the hours of Wednesday when I'm posting this. He is now a Seattle Mariner. We all thought he would be a Philadelphia Philly. That trade got held up, and so he will not be coming to the Phillies. So as of right now, the Phillies have not done anything at the trade deadline. And with just a few days remaining, we talked everything from the trade deadline, the outlook of this season. It's kind of a pivotal point that I've continually been saying here for the Phillies as they sit here 15-50 through the first 100 games of the season, and there's 62 to go. So we talked all of that and more with Joe Giglio. Even had a little bit of Gabe Kapler discussion, which was fun. It's a two-part episode, so stay tuned for part one, but also be sure to come back to the podcast page and listen to part two. Joining us in today's episode of Locked On Phillies, evening host and oftentimes the host of Leading Off and Final Out on 94WIP, Joe Giglio. Joe, how you doing today?
Dan, I'm doing well, and I'm excited for the trade deadline for the Phillies and the rest of baseball.
Well, so literally we're recording this a little after 4 o'clock on Tuesday, July 27th, and it appears we have our first move of the deadline from Dave Dombrowski. Initial reactions to the acquisition of Tyler Anderson?
Two kind of reactions. One, we'll have to see what they gave up. I can't imagine it's anything significant. He's in a walk year. He is an okay pitcher. Look, Tyler Anderson's fine. Like, I don't dislike Tyler Anderson. I think he's kind of a fourth starter. You picture Tyler Anderson. He's an upgrade for them right now, considering how bad Velasquez has been against everyone, not named the Marlins and Matt Moore. So, and he's been healthy all year. He's made, I think, 18 starts, averaged about five, almost six, innings per start. So he gives innings. His ERA is a little bit over four right now. It kind of reminds me when they traded for Jason Vargas a couple of years ago, kind of like that realm of pitcher. So definitely an upgrade. But my other thought on it, Dan, is this feels like a smaller move. He'll help, but it feels like a smaller move. So I would hope this is accompanied by something a little bit bigger. Maybe they went cheaper in the rotation, and they'll go bigger, in terms of something bigger for the bullpen. Because I don't think Anderson is enough by himself, but I do like bringing him in.
Well, so that was actually going to be – that was the question I was initially going to start out with, but now my – follow-up question to that is, as you view this trade deadline before the Anderson trade, even after the Anderson trade, however you want to look at it, what do you see as the biggest need for this team? Because I've kind of been of the contention that at this point, especially, we don't know, it doesn't seem like the Zach Eflin injury is too serious, but especially while Eflin is sidelined and we have, you see last night Spencer Howard can only give you, three innings, and you're still starting Matt Moore and Vince Velasquez, and we've had a lackluster Aaron Nola this season. Would you agree with the take that the Phillies starting pitching is their biggest area of need? And if that's the case, are you happy with the fact that the bigger move might be coming in the bullpen rather than the starting rotation?
Yeah, I mean, they desperately needed a starter here. And it's not so much, it's not so much that Moore, Velasquez, Spencer, Howard are that bad. I mean, they're not good, but it's not so much like you can't win a game with them on the mound. The Phillies have won. I mean, they're probably around 500-ish with those guys on the mound this year. It's that they just don't pitch enough innings, and it destroys the bullpen. It's almost like this, revolving door of the bullpen is taxed, and then you're already putting David Hale out there in high leverage, and it's just like this never-ending cycle. So I think Anderson really helps from that perspective. He's going to give innings, and if they can get Eflin back, in a perfect world for them, they can roll down the stretch of the season with four of their five starters. It doesn't really matter who five is, but four of their five, you probably pretty regularly expect six innings, Wheeler and Eflin and Nola, and now Anderson can do that too. So that will help. It'll make the bullpen better, but they need a big piece down there. Even if we're shortening the bullpen and we're saying, well, they don't have to pitch that many innings, you still need one more guy. And I hope now they can get someone significant in the bullpen. Craig Kimbrell is obviously the white whale. I don't know if the Phillies have enough and if they're willing to do it and go over the tax and all that. But, you know, if they put someone in the back of the bullpen that is really, really good, and then you can kind of mix and match with Ranger Suarez and Connor Brogdon and Archie Bradley and Alvarado, whenever you want to try to trust them, like, you know, they might be able to pull this off and be good enough to challenge the Mets.
Yeah, so, I mean, just really quickly, the kind of to your point about Tyler Anderson, this stat recently just tweeted out by Jason Stark of that in all 18 of his starts this year, he's gone five innings plus. For instance, Vince Velasquez has only done that in half of his starts. I usually hate the term innings eater because I think it's like an overused cliche as an excuse just for guys who really aren't that good and just go deep into games. But the Phillies almost have the feel of they need that just to prevent going into their bullpen more, which kind of leads me to my next question of, you know, I have not been a fan. Many people have not been a fan. I know you have not been a fan of how Joe Girardi has managed a number of aspects of this team, the bullpen included. As you sit here with this team, with how the bullpen's currently constructed, we don't know what they're going to add. Does it make sense, A, that he's so dead set on giving specific bullpen roles? Like, would it make sense to drop Ranger Suarez? I know they have lacked a closer, but is getting Craig Kimbrel even more so about getting Craig Kimbrel or the fact that you could move Ranger Suarez back into a multiple inning role when you constantly find yourself in need of eating all of these innings because your starters can't go that deep into games?
Yeah, I think you hit on it with Girardi. I think he's really struggled for what a couple of days. One, the NL game, and two, he has struggled to kind of get out of a like, he was good in New York because he had a comfort zone with his bullpen. He at all times, basically, and it was different ones. It was Mariano Rivera in the beginning. It became Aroldis Chapman at the end. Rafael Soriano was mixed in there at some point. But he always had a top-tier closer. At one point, it was one of the greatest of all time. At the other points, it was just really, really good closers. And I think it allowed him to mix and match with everybody else, and he kind of picked his spots and figured it out. He's never really had that here in Philadelphia. He hasn't had anything at the back that is solidified. So it's almost like he's got to figure out all the innings and how they mesh together. He's just not very good at it. Let's just say it's Craig Kimbrel. Like, if that happened, and you could put him at the back, and it gives Girardi, let's say, three or four decent options to fill out the sixth, seventh, eighth on a lot of nights, I give him a better shot of figuring it out. And obviously, when they get to the ninth, you feel like the game's over with the way Craig Kimbrel has pitched. And maybe it's not Kimbrel, but like just any top-tier closer, I think it would help the Phillies, but also I think it would make Girardi's life easy again. And he's, you know, Girardi can manage, obviously, when things are set up the right way. He's won a lot. But when things are difficult, he struggles.
This episode of Locked On Phillies is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans, and this app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, and athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Locked On Green Room, again, it's the perfect place to start or join a conversation about Major League Baseball. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to other big news or rumors. You'll even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, MLB, and NHL platforms, as well as the NFL, with that coming up in just a couple of weeks here. Again, I'll be joining the app soon, so be sure to get started, and I will meet you there. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter account, and join the NFL, MLB, NHL, or NBA group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms of your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all in the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Phillies room is live. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. Well, so I'll kind of, you know, piggyback off that. In terms of, I mean, what have you seen the biggest struggle, in your opinion, of how Joe Girardi has managed this team? There's obviously been a number of issues where it seems like he doesn't know when to pull the pitcher for, a pinch hitter. He doesn't necessarily always anticipate what's coming on the other end with the three-batter minimum rule. Get to the, you could even put the times where it just seems like he's had a gap in knowledge or thought process aside, leaving guys off the lineup card or just forgetting how many mounders he has. I mean, what has been the worst or like the part you've been least impressed with Joe Girardi, and how do the Phillies overcome the fact that in my estimation, he has literally cost them games this season?
Yeah, it's not been good. I would say the biggest thing he struggles with is, and I hope, I'm excited to see more to see if he grows, and I hope I'm wrong on this. I think he's really poor at picking the right spots for pitchers. Like, you know, bullpen pitchers, other than the best of the best, they're all just, you know, they have good stuff, but they're not great pitchers. You got to put them in the right spots. You put them in the right spots, they can succeed. You know, whatever it is, maybe a righty with a great slider that, you know, could go down and into lefties, and that's a good matchup for him. It just feels like he struggles with the pockets of the lineup to put the right pitchers in. Because I don't think the guys are all that bad. Like, David Hale's obviously bad, but, like, Connor Brockett's not bad. He's got good stuff. And, you know, Archie Bradley's not bad. I just think sometimes Shiel puts him in tough spots, and it makes them look worse than they are. So that's an issue. I don't like the small ball stuff. He bunts too much. That drives me crazy. For the most part, I think he's, you know, offensively, pregame stuff, I think he's good. I mean, I think he usually finds good matches for his guys. Like, the lineup construction, you know, find that spot for McCutcheon in the middle, and that's got him going. I think he's pretty good about when to give a good day off. I think he can set up a lineup and kind of pick and choose the right matchups with his bats. I think where he struggles is with his pitching, and maybe if something was defined at the back end, it would make things easier for him.
I believe it was yesterday that Dave Dombrowski was asked about extending Joe Girardi, essentially kind of dodged the question. If the Phillies go for it here at this trade deadline, which it certainly seems like they are, to what extent is still up in the air. Are we in a situation where, based upon how the past couple of seasons are going, that Joe Girardi could be managing for his job if this team does not win the NL East?
Could be. Also, it depends probably how big they go with the deadline. Like, if they really believe, and I, you know, Dan, we know all these teams have, like, their internal projections that we don't know. They'll never tell us out loud. But, like, you know, let's say they trade for another big player here, and Dave Dombrowski looks at their personnel, their record, their schedule, and he says, you know what? We are we should win 85 games, like whatever the number comes out to. And then they end up with 80 games or 81, and they're four under what he thought they should be at. Yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to evaluate the guy that's pushing the buttons, because obviously the Phillies think they're better than that. So I don't think it's crazy. We just watched this owner fire a manager after 2 years. This is Girardi's second year. So expectations can certainly change things. If I had to guess, Joe would probably be back next year, but... I would not be opposed to letting him be a lame duck, bringing him back, you know, without a contract extension. The Yankees never do contract extensions, so Joe's been down this road before, I think twice. Once they said goodbye to him, and then the other time they gave him an extension, I think after 2012 or 13. So it's not out of the realm that they bring him back without a contract extension, and next year he's, you know, he's a lame duck. It's kind of weird, but Girardi's been down that path before.
And when you look at this team in totality, look, we're 99 games in this season, 50-49. They enter this tonight's game, 100th game of the year. Kind of been on the 500 seesaw all season long. A, how many wins do you think it will take to win this division? Because as I see it, I mean, not just even as I see it mathematically, they would basically be out of it in five of the six divisions in baseball. They happen to be in the one that allows them to be in contention here. A, how aggressively do you expect them to kind of put the pedal to the metal here at the deadline? B, how many wins does it take to get it done? And C, what would you set kind of like the internal odds? Like, do you believe this team, not necessarily can make the playoffs, but do you believe they will?
So I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they're going to, yeah. Now, how much money they spend and how much prospect capital they give up, like, you know, for what player, I don't know. It's got to probably line up. I think there's a chance they go over the luxury tax, but I think there's a less chance they give up a gigantic prospect to get that kind of player. I think if they can get a Kimbrel or someone that pushes them over, I mean, it was going to give up a ton of prospect costs. I think Dombrowski could convince Middleton, let's just do it. And then maybe we'll reset in the offseason or whatever. So I think they'll be aggressive. I'm glad they're ready here trying to do that with at least one starting pitcher in Anderson. As far as how many wins to win the NL East, I've been thinking 85 for a while could get it done. I don't think the Mets are very good. They're talented, but, you know, Lindor is hurt and wasn't very good before. And Jacob DeGrom, like, it's now, you're a fool if you just, like, think he's going to come back and he's going to pitch every start, you know, and be fine the rest of the year. Something's going on. I mean, it's been three times this year already he's had a pause. He just can't physically do it. So I don't know when he's coming back. And when he does, how do we know he's not going to have to sit down again? So that's a big deal for the Mets. And if you look at the Philly schedule, and Dan, I'm sure you have, there is that pocket in September where they have it's a run of 17 games. 14 of them at home. The three are on the road, are in Citi Field against the Mets. And the 14 home games are against the combination of the Rockies, the Cubs, the Pirates, and the Orioles. Like, that's it. that that's the Phillies' chance that they've been waiting for a decade. So if they could just hover around 500, that's what I think could put them over. So I thought the Phillies were an 84-win team before the season. I still think they're about an 84-win team, and I think the next few days will tell us, you know, if we think they can get enough help to maybe get to 85 or 86 and win this division.
This episode of Locked On Phillies is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using RockAuto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even that new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all of the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com. In terms of this offense, there's been a lot of talk of adding to the starting rotation, to the bullpen. Is this offense as currently constructed good enough? Because we've seen pockets where they put it together, specifically the beginning of July, like the offense lights up. They had that series at Wrigley Field where they're putting up countless runs, and then you come back after the All-Star break and they're leaving runners left on base and guys can't get hot at the same time. And we know the talent is there, but can this lineup as currently constructed basically just stay the same towards, like, from now until the end of the season and be good enough?
Yeah, I think they can. I really don't know what choice they have. Like, yeah, I know the Byron Buxton and Starling Marte rumors were out there, and if they went down that road, then no one's going to be upset. Those guys are intact players in center field. But other than center field, I don't really know where they upgrade that makes sense. Like, obviously, they could use an upgrade as shortstop, but what are they going to do with Didi Gregorius? He's signed for an extra year. They're stuck there. They could use an upgrade at third base, but is this the moment in time to give up on Alec Bohm? I probably not. You know, I think they have big decisions to make with this offense in the offseason. You know, is Rhys Hoskins the long-term guy at first base? Do you have to move Bohm? Is the DH coming? You know, what the heck are they doing in center field? McCutcheon's a free agent. Like, they have really big long-term decisions to make basically everywhere but catcher to right field. Like, after the season, every position to me is in a flux. And I don't mean Rhys has to go anywhere, but he might not be the everyday first baseman. He might become a DH. But they really have significant lineup decisions to make after the season. I just don't know what they do during the season. Like, unless somehow they shock us and they offer, you know, Bryson Stott and Spencer Howard and maybe something else to go get, you know, Byron Buxton, I don't think there's much they could do. So they're kind of hamstrung. So I think it's okay. I think it's good enough. But I really don't know how to fix it, even if they don't think it's good enough.
Kind of just playing a little bit revisionist history here. As I mentioned, tonight the Phillies' 100th game. This will actually be the 160th game of Joe Girardi's career. So he's about to hit the mark where usually managers would manage their first full season. Obviously, the pandemic shortened season last year, and a lot of weird things have gone into that. But as you kind of rewind on I mean, we always said last year was 60 games, and it felt like a full 162 because of just the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride that was that season. When you look back at this team, just how they've gotten to this point, they've had some highs, they've had a ton of lows. The way they have found ways to lose games is kind of nuts. Are you surprised that they're in this position to buy, or have you kind of always been like, nah, I'm holding out hope the division's not that good?
Yeah, I am surprised that, like, if you told me before the season that the Phillies have this record here, and he asked me what kind of conversation we're having, I don't know if I would have guessed this. Like, you know, maybe I would have thought the wild card could have been in play. You know, I don't think any of us thought the NL West would have three teams, you know, just running towards 90s-plus wins. So I would have guessed this would have been a wild card conversation. I wouldn't have thought the division would have been attainable if the Phillies were this mediocre. But, yeah, I mean, they're lucky. And as far as what they are, like, I'm not surprised that their record is what it is. They are what they are. I mean, this is who they are. You mentioned us, you know, last year combined with this year, it's 500-ish. This is the kind of team that they've put together. I think they've overrated their own, you know, kind of core in terms of best four or five players, like how good those guys are. They they have not, and this is a Klentak McPhail problem, but they just have not prioritized starting pitching depth. It's amazing to me that, like, they can't dive into the minor league system and bring guys up and make anything happen. And when they go out and spend $7 million on Moore and Anderson, like, look at other teams around baseball where they spent their money on, you know, back into the rotation guys. Like, the Giants got Dace Clafani for $6 million. Giants got Alex Wood for $3 million. You can find other teams around baseball that did similar things, you know, because it was coming off a year where it was a weird season. A lot of pretty good pitchers had weird years. You could get bargains. And the Phillies ended up with $7 million in Moore and Anderson. So I'm not surprised they're 500 because this is what they built here.
Forget going back to the beginning of the season. What would you have said if I told you 30 days ago this team will be buying at the trade deadline?
Probably a little bit surprised. You know, because at that point DeGrom was healthy, and I also, like, 30 days ago, the Nationals were playing better. They've obviously cooled off to the point where they're going to trade everybody, not named Soto, potentially away. But I would have said the Braves. Like, I thought the Mets could be pretty good. But the Braves were the team, like, if you told me this was the division that was going to be one with 85, 86 wins, I would have said, oh, the Braves are going to do it again. But the Acuna injury is a killer. I give them credit because they keep trying. It seems like they're not going to sell. I mean, they traded for Peterson and Vogt. I think it's kind of cool, but that team always tries. And, you know, meanwhile, the Phillies, you're going on a decade without making the playoffs. Like, the Braves always try, so they're not going to go away. But, I would have been surprised a month ago if you told me they were buying, just considering the way they're playing.
That's going to do it for part one of my conversation with Joe Giglio. Stay tuned for part two. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.